Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Evolution Group H1 Earnings Update Call. My name is Felicia, and I'll be the operator assisting today. During this presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask a question by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I will now hand you over to your host today, Ronnie George, to begin. Ronnie, please go ahead.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Good morning and welcome to Evolution Group H1 2020 Earnings Update. It will be full participation as a call. What we'll try to do today is to help you as we work through the presentation. We'll guide you with page numbers, et cetera. I'm Ronnie George, I'm the CEO of Evolution Group, and today I'm joined by Andy O'Brien, who's the Chief Financial Officer. Starting on page two, what we'd like to do is just walk you through the headlines for the first half of the year. Andy will come back and talk about the financial review. I'll come back and do the operational review in terms of the first half, and then we'll come back later on and discuss the outlook, and indeed, questions, Q&A, we'll reserve to the end of the session. To page two, financial headlines. Revenue increased to 119 million. That's up 5% on a constant currency basis versus the prior year. Our adjusted earnings per share increased by 6.5% to 8.2p. I'm very pleased with our adjusted operating margin, obviously underpinned by our operational excellence program, but 0.7% improvement in our margin, but a 1.3% improvement in our organic margin. That's to 18.3%. Also very pleased about our cash generation, indeed our strongest cash generation in the first half of a financial year since we listed, 93% cash conversion of EBITDA, with our net debt now down on a like-for-like basis on our original measure at 1.3x. Operational headlines. Strong growth in Central Europe, particularly pleased with innovation and how our new products are capturing share. U.K. operating profit up 5%, driven by good RMI performance and Reading facility performing well. Challenging market conditions in U.K. commercial and the Nordic project business. I'll come back to that later on and explain a little bit about what's happening there. Also on the M&A front, very pleased with the integration of Ventair in Australia and the new products that we're introducing to the range is taking shape really well. That's just a quick update on the financial headlines. I'm moving now on to page three, and just a reminder of our strategic pillars, one, two, three on the left-hand side, and the progress that we made in the first half of the year. Focusing on organic growth in our markets, in particular, pleased with U.K. public RMI. Certainly had been a lot more challenging for us in earlier years, but the new products that we brought to market there, and indeed the change of approach to that market, has been very successful. Also in Germany, where we launched the Xenion range in the previous financial year, that particular range of products has grown share very well in the first half. The challenges in U.K. commercial and the Nordic products market, I'll come back to later on. Already talked about growth through a disciplined and value-adding acquisition strategy. Ventair integrating very well, but it's been a quieter period for us, as expected really, in terms of new acquisitions. The market remains attractive and fragmented in the medium to long term, but certainly at this moment in time, unlikely to add anything meaningful to the group in the short to near-term future. Strategic pillars, operational excellence. We announced this with our FY 2019 results and a focus on improving our adjusted operating margin up to 20% in the short to medium term. We made really good progress with our operational excellence initiatives, and they're embedded and underway across all of the business, and I'll come back and talk about that a little bit more later on. One meaningful change that we've made to our reporting is to organize ourselves across three geographic segments. I'm on page four now. The U.K., Continental Europe, and Australasia. The U.K. still being 54% of the group's revenue, but still a nice balance there between U.K., Continental Europe, and Australasia. Andy will talk a little bit later on about the individual operating margins in each of those areas and how they developed during the first half of the year. So look, that's a quick summary for me. I'm going to hand over to Andy now to take you through the financial review, and then I'll come back in a short while and just give more of an operational update on the first half.
Thank you, Ronnie. Good morning, everybody. So I'm now on slide 6, the financial KPIs. Just before I dive into the numbers per se, it might also be worth pointing people to slide 20 in the appendix. So this is our first period of reporting under IFRS 16. Now, in terms of our main profit metrics of operating profit and indeed profit before tax, the impact of adoption is pretty negligible. So operating profit increases by 0.2 million as a result of adoption, but then you have an additional interest cost of 300,000, meaning profit before tax is actually 100,000 lower. But essentially, profitability measures are pretty much unchanged, but it does, of course, as you know, have a fairly fundamental impact on how we look at net debt, how we look at leverage, and how we look at cash conversion. So on this slide, and indeed in the numbers that Ronnie's already shared with you on the highlights, where we talk about profit measures, these are new IFRS 16 numbers, but where we talk about net debt, leverage, and cash conversions are the 93% that Ronnie referenced earlier. We're clearly doing those on an old basis, like for like, so you can see the true measure of performance. So as I say, if you need to get more detail on that, slide 20 bridges those two sets of numbers. So just quickly calling out on this slide 6, the revenue, I think Ronnie's already given you 5% constant currency growth, and in due course we'll come on to market by market and a bit more breakdown within our market segments. Adjusted operating profit margin, so we improved from 17.6% in the first half of 19 to 18.3% in the first half of 2020. So a 70 basis points improvement, which obviously is pleasing. What we've also done there, you'll see the sort of the hashed red bar to the right-hand side where we've said like-for-like margin excluding Ventair. So there, in H1 of 2019, of course, that was pre the acquisition of Ventair when we delivered 17.6%. So if we look at that same basket of businesses for half one of 2020, that would actually be 18.9%. So the 70 basis points becomes, if you like, 130 basis points like for like. And as Ronnie said, in a couple of slides' time, I'll give you a bit more color region by region how that evolved. Good growth in earnings per share, cash flow particularly pleasing, as Ronnie has already alluded to, and the consequence of that cash flow being that our net debt on a IAS 17 old world basis drops from 74.6 to 60.5, with leverage now down at 1.3 times. If you now turn the page to slide 7, so most of these numbers in the table here are just a different representation of the numbers on the previous slide. We always give you, of course, both reported and constant currency for revenue, but we also thought it was useful just to show how that plays through to operating profit as well. So what you'll see on the second line there is the adjusted operating profit improvement of 7.6% is actually just over 9% on a constant currency basis. Reported profit growth is higher again. So you see reported operating profit growth of 24.4%. And as you'll see in the next slide, that's essentially because of no exceptional items in this half versus spend predominantly around the final bit of the Reading project in H1 of 19. Cash conversion leverage, we've already talked about on the previous slide, but yeah, particular highlights being the 93% like-for-like cash conversion and net debt down at 60.5 at the half. And interim dividend per share, 1.71. So dividend per share growing ever so slightly above earnings per share, a 6.9% growth there. Slide 8 is a fairly small slide, not too much on it, but just really, I guess, to call out two things there. So number one, as I've already just mentioned, nothing under the exceptional operating cost line in this period, 1.2 million last year, which was predominantly the Reading factory relocation cost and a very small amount of acquisition expenditure. the 900,000 net loss on financial instruments at fair value, a very long-winded way of saying that's the revaluation effect of our forward dollar contract. So as you know, we typically have a policy of trying to hedge 9 to 12 months out on our expected US dollar spend for our GBP denominated businesses. So that's the revaluation effect of those contracts. If I can ask you now to jump to slide 9. So, you know, as you'd have seen a couple of weeks ago, and as Ronnie mentioned in the earlier slide, you know, we've recently adopted a new segmentation of the business, looking at it in three, if you like, divisions or three geographies of United Kingdom, continental Europe and Australasia. And so here we're focusing in on the operating margin piece and I guess how we are performing and delivering towards the operational excellence strategic pillar. And you know, we've given you three bars here. So the black bar is each geography, and indeed at the top the group overall for H1 of 19. The grey is the reported H1 20, and to my earlier point about the impact of the Ventair acquisition, so this is then relevant both for the Australasia block and for the group overall. We've also given you what H1 2020 organic would be, so if you like for like with H1 19. So, you know, pleasing growth across all of the geographies. I mean, the UK, 150 basis points, one we'll come on to shortly. Obviously, there's a meaningful contribution there from performance improvement and efficiency in Reading. But, you know, I think fair to call out that all of our geographies have improved operating margins, so it's not just the Reading game. Value engineering, we've talked about, procurement benefits, we've talked about, and really down in the Australasia piece, it's all for us about how do we improve and drive benefits through our acquisitions in the early years and then sustain those benefits. And I've also given you a little bit of colour on that slide about the things that are already in progress, which we are going to be going after to deliver further towards that margin target as the rest of this year unfolds and as we go into FY21. The next slide, slide 10, so just giving a little bit more breakdown and colour around the cash flow performance, the cash conversion, and consequently what that implies for net debt. And the result of everything is that they leverage down at 1.3 times at the half year on an old world basis. There is, you know, a good performance, or performance that pleases us on working capital. So we're starting to see inventory reducing, which we talked to you a little bit about when we spoke back in October. And so inventory is down about $1.5 million compared to where it was at the end of July. Fixed asset expenditure slightly down on the comparable period last year by £1 million. A small tax refund in the UK, so you'll see on the tax paid line, lower than the previous year. And then I guess the only thing I would say right down the bottom, there is, when we look at it on a net debt basis, obviously we hold our debt in a combination of sterling, euro and SEK, and therefore the movement in exchange rates does have an impact thereon as well. So that's called out towards the bottom of the chart. So that's the financial highlights. And with that, I'll hand back to Ronnie.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Andy. So really sort of important to emphasise there the strong cash generation in the first half of the year, particularly pleasing inventory reduction, a lot of work going on there as part of our operational excellence program, and how it isn't just about improving margin, but of course operational excellence for us is great sort of inventory management and control. So I'm moving now to page 13. What I'd like to do over the next few pages is just give a bit of a roundup on the operational performance in the first half of the year. And so if we just start with page 13, I'll try not to repeat some of the things that Andy's already said around the operating margin, but UK revenue, 64.5 million. We had a 3% decline on a constant currency basis, but it's very much two different stories in here. What we would say is that our UK residential business is performing, we would say at least in line in terms of new build and probably ahead of
the wider market. In UK Residential RMI, Construction Products Association view, for example, is that the RMI market was in the second half of the calendar year last year in decline. We're very pleased about the progress that we're making with our RMI offer, both in private and in public RMI. A significant upgrade to the products that we're bringing to market, enhancing the mix, particularly in private RMI, our sort of so-called upselling. Those of you that were with us in Reading last year will have seen some of that in the foyer, in the reception area, where we showed you the great new products that we're launching, and they are getting really good traction across all aspects of the market. It's very, very much the same in public RMI. We had a 4.5% growth in public RMI. That now marks three consecutive halves of public RMI growth. When we listed in 2014, unfortunately, we had a period for the first four financial years where our public RMI revenues declined, but we're growing very well in that space, and the dynamics, we believe, medium to long term, are still very attractive for both the market and indeed the offer that we bring. New build residential ventilation, I talked about. This is structurally underpinned by regulations. There is no doubt that the second half calendar year leading up to the general election was a little bit less certain in regard to the UK economy and UK house building. And we still believe in the medium to long term dynamics of residential new build. It is a regulatory underpinned space. And indeed, up till now, our order book in this financial year has still been growing. UK commercial, and indeed when you look at the statement in more detail, which no doubt you'll have a chance to do later on, we've talked about UK commercial being difficult in the second half of our financial year 19, and indeed we expected UK commercial to be tough in the first half, and indeed it was. And again, similar story to the election uncertainty. UK commercial new build in London was weaker, and indeed up until recently, and indeed right as we sit today, I'll come back to the outlook later on, our UK commercial is coming across softer comps. And indeed, when we look at the operating margin improvement from 17.4% to 18.9% this year, a lot of that improvement has come through in all aspects of the business, both in commercial and in residential. So disappointing to have 11.6% decline, but wasn't altogether a surprise. Our export grew well on a constant currency basis, grew by 7.4%. And we continue to take on new accounts. So typically these exports are to geographies where Volution doesn't have an operating company, as it were. And then just finally in the UK, OEM, it feels unfortunate that we had a very mild, wet winter and therefore our boiler spares demand was quite weak, and again it's detailed in the statement, but the outlook for our boiler spares for the second half of the year is actually quite strong compared to the first half, and this is to do with the commercial arrangements that we have with those boiler spares customers, where there's a certain minimum contractual purchase that they have to make on these products each year, and indeed we can see the revenue picking up in the second half of the year versus the first half because of those commitments that are already laid down for our financial year. So overall, just to reconfirm, operating margin up 150 basis points. Yes, it was assisted by Reading, but also a whole raft of ongoing operational improvement initiatives that we will continue to focus on in the second half of the year. On to page 14, Continental Europe, a small organic decline, 0.5% on a constant currency basis, operating margins broadly flat, up 90 basis points from 21.1 to 22% or 21.9 on a constant currency basis. And we're delighted about the operating margin improvement in the first half of the year on a business that was essentially flat. And so I think that just starts to demonstrate what we're capable of through this operational excellence program. But indeed, the revenue was split broadly, you know, very clearly into two distinct buckets. In the Nordics, we had the project challenges that we'd seen in Sweden and indeed in Finland. The situation in Finland is quite ironic, really, because in actual fact, the organic decline in Finland was off the back of a very strong first half of the prior year in Finland.
If you remember, we acquired Pamon Oipamon in July 2018, so the first half of our FY19 in fact was not an organic growth, and therefore we've come up against some very strong comps in Finland, and we've had an organic decline in the first half of this year. What I'm particularly pleased about in the Nordics is that our trade and DIY, if you like, our refurbishment, our RMI business, actually held up really well. We've launched a considerable basket of new products in there and some upgrades, and we're seeing some margin improvement in our DIY and trade business. I mean, in Central Europe, we had a constant currency organic growth of 19.3%. It was without doubt the star performer in the first half of the year. That was in particular in Germany. So our Inventor brand, which is the number two provider of what we call decentralized heat recovery, both in the renovation and in the new build market, continued the strong finish in FY19 from the launch of this enhanced Xenion range. We safely believe in the decentralized heat recovery market in Germany that we have the leading proposition in terms of performance and functionality, and indeed we're very soon to launch the wireless infrastructure that we think will ordinarily support the ongoing progress in that area in the second half of the year and beyond. So overall, just to summarize there, 80 basis points of margin improvement over the prior year, in spite of the fact that effectively our revenue was broadly flat. And then finally, in terms of these new geographic segments that we're talking to you about, these new geographic areas, in Australasia, I need to talk about it in two parts. So first off, the organic growth. So the organic growth in New Zealand was very strong. We delivered 7.4% organic growth in the first half of the year, and a substantial organic margin improvement. So what we're showing here is a small margin decline, but in actual fact, there was a good organic margin improvement, improving by 3.1 percentage points to 19%. Indeed, we added Ventair in Australia to the business in March of 2019, and Ventair is integrating very well, and we're just starting to get some traction now with the new products that we're launching. So overall, we had, what are we saying here, a 97% increase in our revenue in Australasia, but of course hugely assisted by the acquisition, but a substantial increase in our operating profit, and it becomes a more meaningful area now. And typically we generate more of our profit because of seasonality in that region in the second half of the year, but nevertheless, Australasia is meaningful for Volution and has developed really well in the first half of the year. So that's a summary of our three geographic areas. And what I'd like to do now is take you to page 16, and I'd still like us to focus on the medium to long-term dynamics of our sector, and indeed I'll come on to Outlook in a moment, and I can fully appreciate why we can be distracted in the short term. But I think it's worth reminding everybody now that on page 16, health and well-being, a matter that, of course, is front of mind to everybody at the moment. But I've been saying for some considerable time, even prior to the coronavirus threats that we're experiencing today, that a well-ventilated building that can be both a new building and indeed a refurbished building is a healthier building. And indeed, regulations are gently accentuating that point and supporting our space. And indeed, if I was to make a prediction over the coming years, I suspect that is going to gain further momentum for obvious reasons. So just a quick reminder here, health and well-being, indoor air quality, that's what we do. We're leaders in our space. We provide good indoor air quality. We fix mold and condensation control. And as buildings become more airtight, greater insulated, this is a really important facet of the market. Consumer preference, quietness, I already talked about in our RMI space. We're seeing in pretty much every market that we trade in, consumers understanding that we bring quietness and silence to the market. We also help with reducing energy bills through efficiency, and connectivity and control is something that we can leverage and benefit from in the future. And then just finally, driving increased regulations. A good example here is the Healthy Homes program in New Zealand. Our 7.4% organic growth in New Zealand is partly assisted by the Healthy Homes Act that was introduced in New Zealand, and we're seeing the benefits of that and expect to continue to do so in future. So between Andy and I there, we've given you an update of the first half year performance, both operationally and financially. I'd like to take you to page 17 now before we go over to Q&A, just to try and summarise a little bit about what's happened in the first half of the year and indeed how we see the outlook. So quick summary at the top of page 17. Our adjusted operating profit was up 9.1% on a constant currency basis. Our adjusted operating profit margin improved by 70 basis points, including the dilution of the acquisition in Ventair, 130 basis points, as Andy's already explained to you earlier, on an organic basis. Our cash conversion on the new standard is 99.5%, but indeed on a like-for-like basis under IAS 17, it was still 93% and was the strongest cash generation that we've delivered in the first half of a financial year in both absolute terms and, in absolute terms since we listed in 2014. Indeed, as we sit today, and we are now 6 weeks plus into our second half of the year, it has in fact started in a similar fashion to the first half performance. We talk about our excellent cash generation, and that's something that we consider a byword for Volution, has been the case ever since we listed in 2014 and continues to be very important to us. Indeed, we talk about substantial firepower and the ability to invest in future acquisitions. I think for obvious reasons, as we move into the second half of the year now, we're much more considered around what we might do. But medium to long term, this is a very fragmented space, and we continue to see acquisitions as an important part of the strategy, although maybe for obvious reasons we will just pause for breath in the coming weeks and months ahead. Our market fundamentals remain strong, and the medium-term regulatory drivers support demand for energy-efficient ventilation solutions. And then finally, unfortunately, this presentation couldn't take place without mentioning coronavirus and COVID-19. The pandemic has clear potential for adverse impacts on the broader economic activity. Our direct risks around our supply chain, and indeed 6 weeks ago, our focus was almost exclusively on the supply chain. Our management teams have done fantastic work around that, and we don't have any undue concerns about our supply chains. I know there's been some sort of analyst updates over the past weeks about that, but I'd just like to reassure everybody that we see no risks as it stands today in terms of the supply chains. And I should just explain why that's the case. We run good buffer stocks within our business, and we also have good visibility about what's on its way from us from China in particular. We've been able to mitigate any potential interruptions by using other materials and so forth. And of course, the supply chain risks now may be more around European suppliers and so forth. But as it sits today, we're reasonably comfortable about how that sits. Of course, onto the wider outlook in respect of demand, I think it's uncertain, and indeed we're keeping a close eye on that. But as no doubt we'll come on to in Q&A in a moment, we remain very sort of agile and focused on adjusting the business wherever appropriate as and when necessary. So that's the summary and outlook. I'm going to hand back now to the moderator, and then we'd be delighted to answer any questions that you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. The first question we have is from Aintley Lemon from Canaccord. Aintley, your line is now open.
Hi, Ainsley.
Andy.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I've got three questions, actually. First of all, obviously impressive margin improvement in the first half. And just kind of looking at the full year, would you expect a similar type of increase, obviously, for the second half and the full year? And then second question, you mentioned good visibility on the supply chain and stocks. I mean, at this point, what would you kind of estimate you've got? You know, is it 2-3 months of stock before you could potentially see any issues there? And then lastly, just wondering if you're seeing any kind of change in behaviour from some of the house builders or local authorities in terms of demand and what they're doing in anticipation of what might happen with COVID-19. Thanks.
Okay, understood. What we'll do, Ansley, is we'll take those three questions. I'll let Andy take the margin. I'll come back on the other two.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the way we'd summarise the margin, and hopefully slide 9 helps put the colour around it, is, you know, what's happened in the first half very much gives us confidence that we're doing the right things towards the medium-term target that we talked about a few months ago. As you'll see, the biggest jump was in the UK, and probably of the UK piece, approximately 2/3 of that was coming from Reading. But of course, what that then means is both the balance of the UK and indeed in the other two geographies shows that the other things that we've sort of alluded to and shared with you before and again on this slide are taking effect and are delivering. So, you know, those aren't just one-time exercises. Those are things that we're trying to embed as discipline and business as usual in the business. Probably the question for the next few months will be, do we have to do anything specific sort of short-term basis if, as Ronnie mentioned at the end of the outlet piece there, we do suffer or when we do start to get a sense on what the impact on demand is going to be. But, you know, that aside, and I think that's probably a phrase that we use quite a lot, but, you know, that aside, we would expect continuation of the progression towards the target.
And just to add to that, I think a lot of, you know, as we've really highlighted in this results update, is it's a whole plethora of initiatives that we're driving here, value engineering initiatives in terms of product cost or indirect efficiency, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, what we had in the first half of the year in the Nordics and in UK commercial was an organic decline and a margin improvement. So I'm not saying that it should demand be substantially weaker. Of course, there is a point at which it's difficult to overcome that, but we still think the direction of travel is positive. And to your second point on inventory, look, I think we all understand this really well now, but the supply risk that we had from China is no longer a risk. We have good visibility in our facilities. We have 4 or 5 weeks stock, and indeed we have stuff on the way. There's been a little bit of air freight here and there, but it really is around the edges, and it's not substantial in terms of quantum or cost. And so I'm not concerned at all about Chinese supply chain. And indeed, when we look at things a little bit more closely, where are the risks? Well, we injection mold our plastics consumption in overall volume terms isn't huge. And so I don't have any concerns about that. Indeed, the way in which we hedge some of our plastics material with our suppliers is that they effectively hold it in storage for us. They pre-purchase it, hold it in storage. So good visibility on plastics, good visibility on electronics and motors. And there are some discrete European suppliers that we have under watch in terms of heat cells for our heat recovery production and some finished larger EC motors that we buy. But I